establish a wall. The wall will block your progress and maybe even cause you to take other directions that might make things worse. For this example, let's assume you have limiting beliefs that include, 1, you have no money, and without it, you can't market your product. 2, you've never done this before, so your competition will easily beat you. 3, you are too young to be respected by your business community. 4, no one has ever been able to grow sales that fast in your industry. It just can't be done. Now let's look at each of these beliefs and how they can derail entrepreneurial dreams. 1, you can't market products without money. I've seen people squash great ideas for products simply because they think they don't have enough money to market them. Or worse, they put less time and money into making a great product in order to reserve funds for marketing, which results in a mediocre product backed by inadequate marketing. A sure prescription for disaster. If a product is great, it will market itself. Believe that your marketing can be done for free or cheaply, it can. As the product sells, cash will become available to further push sales. 2, the competition will beat your inexperienced ass. Again, a belief like this almost always results in inaction. Even worse, people spend time and money trying to gain an education and examine how the competition operates. But instead of gaining an upper hand, all they have is knowledge of how the competition did it 10 or 20 years ago. Schools are always behind, and if you rely on traditional education alone, you'll always be behind too. Believe that inexperience is an asset, allowing you to think outside the box in ways your competition can't even imagine. 3, no one will take you seriously. Believing you're too young to get respect from the business community can be paralyzing, so you wait for the perfect time to start, which never, ever comes. The proof is in the pudding. The earlier you start, the faster you will gain experience and the faster you will succeed. Besides, the internet allows you to act like a big business even if you're conducting your business in your underwear. You're never too young to become an entrepreneur. You don't even need a driver's license to launch your first company. 4. Your idea is impossible because it's never been done. So many people are trapped by the belief that something can't be done just because no one else has done it before. Again, the immediate result is inaction. And the end result is watching someone else achieve your impossible idea. Every invention, every business, every great idea had to have a first time. If no one has ever done what you want to do, be excited. You have the advantage because you will be the first to pull it off. Do you see how, before you even get started, your limiting beliefs have built a wall so high and so strong, your progress from point A is immediately blocked and pushes you in a new direction? It is impossible to achieve point B. I call these limiting beliefs the wall. The wall is insurmountable and is more powerful than any physical barrier could ever be. There is no method of knocking it down or destroying it other than to vanquish the wall by creating a channel of enabling beliefs. But wait a minute. If I believe that I need money to start a company and then I get money, that will clearly knock down the wall. I can destroy the wall without changing my beliefs. Not true. Access to money has not knocked down the wall. It has actually made the wall bigger and stronger. You've not changed your belief that you can't start a business without money. You actually proved to yourself that you needed money. The wall of can't start without money is made temporarily irrelevant since you have money for now, but the belief is still there, larger than ever. The next time you are in a situation that you believe requires money you don't have, your limiting belief will stop you in your tracks. Navigating around your limiting beliefs doesn't knock the wall down. It makes it higher. Envy this. Envy. Until recently, I didn't appreciate how damaging envy was to my own progress. And as my envy of others diminished, my own entrepreneurial progress picked up with even more momentum. I used to see successful people who were clearly ahead of me, and I would acknowledge their success outwardly. Inside, though, I was telling myself that they were probably unhappy pricks and that they were silver spooned and undeserving of what they had. A million other thoughts would cross my mind, mentally knocking people down well below me, which made me feel good, at least for a while. But the next time I saw a successful person, my envy would be even greater, and I would repeat the process. Then I had an epiphany. When I envy someone, I am just building more limiting beliefs. I'm actually increasing the size of the wall that I am putting in front of my own success. When we envy someone else, what we are saying is that they have achieved something that we should have, but we didn't and can't, so screw them. They have something that no one deserves, so they can go eat crap. Either way, we are saying we can't have what the other person has. That is a huge limiting belief. Envy of others builds an insurmountable wall to our own success. Instead of envy, truly applaud those people. Aspire to be like them in the aspect that you formerly envied. Thank them for having blazed the path before you and making your path to success much easier. Ask them how they did what they did. You may be surprised at how much they help you. You must confront limiting beliefs head on and change them. That is the only way to dissolve the wall. You must convert the beliefs that block new beliefs that help you, beliefs that create the channel. The channel of enabling beliefs. To be a successful entrepreneur, you need to train your mind and your heart to have enabling beliefs. Just as when you have an off day and come back harder and stronger the next day, your enabling beliefs have created a path that moves you forward toward your goals, even though things went awry. I call this belief conduit the channel. What if we change our beliefs from the previous example? Let's create the new belief set. First, you have no money, which enables you to focus your ingenuity and your energy to market your product better than any competitor. Second, you've never done this before, allowing you to come up with outside-the-box, unheard-of ideas that will destroy your competition. Third, you are young and professional, which commands huge respect in the business community. Fourth, no one has discovered a fast growth method in your industry, and so your innovative talent will accelerate your growth and put you well in front of the pack. By revising the beliefs that built the wall, you not only remove the limitations, you actually create the channel. Through the channel, your momentum is pushed forward. Even if you get bumped off track, your enabling beliefs keep you moving forward. Here are my best tips for creating a channel of enabling beliefs. Realize nothing's impossible. When you say and believe something is impossible, you set up a giant roadblock to success. Today, if I told you that teleporting is possible, you would laugh at me. If I told you flight was possible, you would say, of course it is. Any moron knows that. But the same statement about flight made in the 1800s made people laugh and say, impossible. Right here, right now, stop saying something is impossible. There's always a way. You need to seek it out. I can't wait until the first teleporter is invented so I can say I told you so. Nothing's impossible. Ask better questions. We've all heard the statement, there is no such thing as a stupid question. Wrong! I'm here to tell you there are stupid questions, and they are everywhere. People ask me the same lame-ass questions over and over. One of my favorites is, how do I get an investor to give me money? As if investors are like mom and dad, and they want to help me come up with a convincing story that will get them a new car or whatever else they feel entitled to having. Stop asking stupid questions. Ask a better question. Be the first to ask, how would I show an investor a 200% assured return on her money? Or how could I show an investor how we could both come out as winners? Better questions get better answers. Watch someone else doing it. So many times, if we just opened our eyes, we would see that someone is already doing what we thought impossible. We just need to apply it to ourselves. The Wright brothers just needed to look at a bird to see the possibility of flight. Then they asked a great question. How can we use what we know from a bird to make a contraption that will allow people to fly? If someone or something else is already doing it, it sure ain't impossible. Ask how. I once thought photographic memory was something a few weirdos were born with, but was impossible for the common folk such as myself to learn. I even saw a demo in which a guy memorized a detailed list of 50 things in order. I thought he was a freak. Then I asked him how he does it, and he actually told me. Man, it was easy once I understood it. I tried it, and holy smokes, now I can memorize a useless list of 50 things. I am now the freak. Move over, Chris Angel. I am the mind freak. Mind freak. Do it yourself. Until you prove something to yourself, you will never believe it. Sometimes the proof is in the pudding. Challenge yourself and try something that is contrary to your limiting beliefs. Don't try it to prove yourself right. Instead, try it with the absolute commitment to prove yourself wrong. When you actually achieve it, you will have achieved a new enabling belief. Being wrong never felt so right. Take baby steps. If you need to make a 180-degree change in your beliefs, you have to start changing 1 degree at a time. Put the majority of your energy into making the first little change. Once it is accomplished, congratulate yourself for being 1 degree closer, and then go for the next one. Don't try to tackle everything at once. Address it one small baby step at a time. TPEs know their millions are made by grabbing their first $100 and then the next. View the glass as half full. When faced with any situation, you need to focus on finding only the benefits. In some situations, there may be very few benefits and many, many problems. Focusing on the problems will yield nothing. You need to exploit the benefits that you can find, even if they are few and far between. Even if your glass has only one drop of milk in it, there is still something to drink. Or if just one sheet hangs off your roll, you can still wipe. You get the picture. Write and research. Often, many people say they know something, and when you ask them how they know, they respond, "I just know." It is an easy, lazy way to build the wall of limiting beliefs. When you have a belief that is preventing strong progress, write it down. Then research the hell out of it. The information you find will often destroy your belief and get you into the channel of strong momentum. When it's over, move on. The French toast incident. Just because something happened in the past doesn't mean it will happen again. What I'm about to share with you is corny, but embarrassingly true. Until I was 18 years old, I avoided eating French toast like the plague. I knew that French toast would make me sick because, at the age of 6, I ate French toast and got horribly sick minutes later. I threw up for days. I mean, it was a vom fest. Putting one and one together, I knew that French toast was the culprit. I vowed in that moment never to eat it again. Then it happened. At age 18, I was placed in the horrible position of either starving to death or eating the only thing left, French fucking toast. With a quivering lip and 10 gallons of Aunt Jemima, I dug in. And it was delicious. Surprise, no puking. Years later, my mother told me that when I was 6 and puked for days, I had the flu. It wasn't the French toast after all. So just because it happened once before doesn't mean it will happen again. Don't let 12 years go by without eating French toast. When it comes to entrepreneurial success, you have to know that it is absolutely, unquestionably, hugely important to defeat or challenge your limiting beliefs. Only once you have the channel of enabling beliefs can you even begin to march forward and build your desires. Getting past day one. Knocking down your wall and building your channel is big, powerful stuff. But how do you hold fast to your beliefs past that first inspiring day? The truth is, you'll have to work on building your channel daily in order to make it stick. Here are a few tips to help you maintain your TPE mindset. Go with your gut, not your logic. Your beliefs are your core emotional response. They are not based on logic. In other words, your beliefs are the thoughts behind your thoughts. If you are saying out loud, "I will succeed," but your gut is saying you can't because you suck, your gut will win out and you will suck. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this. We all achieve what we believe deep down inside. This ain't hocus pocus. This is the science of how humans operate. Be very mindful of the thoughts behind your thoughts, your gut. Join the right mob. Changing your beliefs doesn't typically happen with a snap of the fingers. But one very effective method for changing your beliefs is to identify the people already achieving what you want and entrench yourself in their group. If you measure the common traits of your five closest acquaintances, you are equal to that. Choose the people you hang out with based upon what you want to be. Absorb everything you can from them and learn at every opportunity. Take them out to dinner, attend network events with them, and just plain old spend time with them. And here's my advice about staying grounded in your beliefs as you launch your business. Share your thoughts. You won't believe how many people approach me saying they have the next billion-dollar idea, but are afraid to share it with me or anyone else in fear of that idea being stolen. Ultimately, the thoughts fade away, and another inspired moment is lost. Share your ideas with trusted individuals. Just don't give away your secret ingredients if you can avoid it. Sharing your ideas strengthens your belief in them, and soon you'll be acting on that strength to support your ideas. Know that responses to your ideas are free and often worth about that much. But if you share your thoughts with been there, done that, the collective feedback may be invaluable. As you share your ideas, your beliefs will grow, and people will start holding you accountable. The upward spiral begins. Ignore or adore. Don't ignore the naysayers if they are your prospective clients or trusted individuals who have already tried what you plan to do. Do ignore them if they are just trying to stand in your way or are speaking from a vantage point of ignorance. The best feedback is from people who have already done what you are doing. I can't tell you how many people have told me not to start a business and that entrepreneurialism is assured failure. Of course, none of these naysayers has any experience to back up those opinions. When I speak with successful entrepreneurs, their response is the polar opposite. They freely share the path they have already blazed in launching a company. Always adore people who have been there and done that, and the others are to be ignored. Grow a pair. That's right, damn it. At some point, every business will have a dark day, month, or God forbid, an entire year. You're going to struggle for a while. Even the big guys struggled. Gary Erickson, the founder of Clif Bar, maker of organic energy and nutrition foods, had to live in a garage, work a day job, and stay up all night making product. Early entrepreneurial success is defined by surviving, not thriving. Set out with the beliefs, focus, and actions to grow rapidly and strongly, knowing that initially it is all about just getting up off the ground. Seriously, grow a pair. The worst thing is to never even try in the first place. Sadly, most people don't. Most people sit on the sidelines and let opportunity after opportunity go by. What a damn shame it would be to have your last words be, "I never even tried." Listen up, Tiger. You may fail and you may suck, but you will only know if you try. Gary didn't give up when his equipment kept breaking down due to the thickness of the Clif Bar mixture. He overcame seemingly insurmountable obstacles to launch what is now one of the most successful and revered American health food companies. Early entrepreneurial success is often defined by survival. But my bet is that once you get started, you will naturally get your feet under you and not just survive, but thrive. So find that footing, start a confident walk, and then run a winning entrepreneurial marathon. Worst case, you don't learn, don't grow, and you fail. Don't worry, another toilet paper entrepreneur who did succeed will have a job waiting for you. The greatest failure is never to have tried at all. Seriously, grow a pair and go for it. Mission, I'm possible. Many people say something is impossible because it hasn't been done before. I'm going to get a little Anthony Robbins on you right now. If you look at the word impossible, it can actually be split into two words, I'm and possible. From now on, whenever someone says something is impossible, hear the word as I'm possible, as in I'm possible, and will achieve whatever I believe. Before the Wright brothers, people thought it was impossible to fly, and it was. Then the plane was invented, and now flight is possible. If the Wright brothers had listened to the people who said it was impossible for humans to fly, we might not have planes today. Progress often involves beating the odds and doing the impossible. Today we look at flight and know that, of course, it is possible. It's a no-brainer. The reason you and I believe that is that when we were born, flight already existed. It's all we know. For many people, the internet is the same way. Of course it is possible. It exists. It works. It's great. If you rewind history to before Al Gore invented the net, the thought of instantaneously exchanging a letter with anyone anywhere in the world was crazy. Today, you are mocked for using postal mail instead of email. Even email is getting stale. It's the new snail mail. IMing is the way to go. All things are impossible things before they exist. What's impossible today? Seek out people saying something is impossible. They are often venting frustration. TPEs know that behind every frustration is a new product or service, and behind every impossibility, there is a gold mine of business opportunities. Is it impossible to get good food at your college? Is it impossible to go through security at the airport? Is it impossible to teleport? Is it impossible to whatever? Make whatever is impossible today your business. Make it possible. Take action now. Before you move on to the next chapter, take half an hour to complete the following three exercises. Otherwise, it's all concept and no application. You need to know your beliefs backwards and forwards. They are the foundation of your success. 1. Expose your wall. Make a list of all your limiting beliefs, no matter how silly they sound. If you're stumped, use your list of excuses as a jumping-off place. 2. See your channel. Write down your enabling beliefs, those certainties that help you take chances and ponder greatness. Stumped again? Think about your accomplishments. How did you get there? What did you know for sure that helped you achieve? 3. Knock down your wall. Build up your channel. This is really just a beginning, because you will continue to uncover both limiting and enabling beliefs as you go through life. For now, debunk those beliefs with affirmative statements and make a plan to act on your enabling beliefs, new and old. Chapter 3. The Fire in Your Belly. Catch a man a fish and you can sell it to him. Teach a man to fish and you ruin a wonderful business opportunity. Karl Marx. The foundation to any TPE success is listening to and following her heart, traveling where it insists she goes. Your heart is simply the map of your company's destiny. Your head is the navigation system. When nature sends a rumble through your stomach, you move quickly and deliberately to the bathroom. When you arrive, you spend a few moments preparing for the work at hand. This is your mind navigating the situation. What is the chance of interruptions? Pretty high? Not good. Does the door lock? Shit, it doesn't. Son of a bitch. The door doesn't even close completely. Time's ticking. Gotta move faster. Gotta think. What about wedging the magazine rack or some bath towels behind the door to slow down any unexpected guests? You must prevent being caught mid-maneuver. Now, with the door addressed, is there proper ventilation to take care of any periphery issues? Most importantly, is there adequate noise to cover up any unexpected music? Maybe it's smart to do a few practice runs clearing your throat, just in case there's a need to cover up sounds. All systems checked. Time to get to work. Oh, crap! You forgot to check for a roll of TP. Sure enough, a mere 3 dangling sheets are waving in the breeze. You're caught again with your shorts around your heels. But you're a toilet paper entrepreneur. This is an easy one to navigate. Time to start limbering up your leg. What to do, what to do. Do something that you want to do because you love it, are passionate about it, and because it has positive impact. Whoopity-doo! Very freaking noble, right? Doing what you love is a great starting point, but that won't necessarily bring home the bacon. I could spend months talking about high-performance cars because I love them, I'm passionate about them, and they are exhilarating. But unless I make a comfortable living at it, it's just an expensive hobby. Passion is the starting point. There is no question about it. If you aren't passionate about your vocation, you will have a real tough time sustaining a startup, let alone living through the dark days. And if you aren't passionate about what you do, someone else who is passionate about it is going to kick your ass into next Sunday. Your long-term success requires a growing number of customers, consistent cash flow, and your ability to outmaneuver the competition every step of the way. Before you dive in with your heart, first dive in with your head and make sure you can say a resounding yes to each of the following questions. 1. Can you make significant money doing this? Meaning, is it realistic that this business will bring in enough bacon for you to cover all your expenses and stash a lot away into savings? 2. Can you make money consistently? Meaning, is it realistic that this new venture will yield a regular, predictable, and growing flow of cash into the company? 3. Can this venture be started with little or no money? 4. Do you want this venture to be an entrepreneur instead of a freelancer? If you want to be a freelancer, you are simply an employee without a boss. A freelancer focuses on mastering the craft, while an entrepreneur focuses on building the systems that support the craft. 5. Do you want to consume this product slash service desperately but can't find it? If you do, you are the focus group. 6. Do you know people who aren't friends and have the same interests as you? Do they really want this product slash service and they can't find it either? 7. Is this business consistent with your values? For example, frugal types would be better off starting the next Old Navy rather than the next Polo. 8. Are people polarized on your concept? Meaning, do some people think it is a great idea and others think it stinks? Polarizing people is a major key to success because it brings recognition from both sides. The side that hates you talks about it, and the side that loves you defends it. See how polarizing concepts get both sides talking about your business? 9. Is your business a one-shot, make-or-break deal, or can it be flexible and change as it grows? You may not get it perfectly right on the first go and may discover new things about yourself. A little flexibility in the business offering can go a long way. Building your business on a foundation of passion is clearly the most important part of sustained entrepreneurial success. But passion alone won't make you successful. Backing it up with positive answers to all of these fundamental market demand questions increases your chance for success tenfold. With passion and potential on your side, it's time to back them up with conviction, a set of immutable laws that form the backbone of your company. What do you stand for? There is a business located right outside Sydney, Australia, called Gorgeous Things. Its founder, Leslie Ann Trow, struggled for years with her company. While she had always made enough money to live, she never really prospered, and she never really felt energized about her vocation. Entrepreneurialism, for her, was a kind of tunnel that seemed to have no light at the end. It all changed in a moment when she recognized that her personal values were regularly being compromised, downplayed, or ignored in order to deliver what the customer wanted. Her wow moment came when she conceded that the constant challenge to her values was a result of her own activities and beliefs. She immediately took action, and her business changed radically. Leslie Ann identified her own 5 immutable laws that she had always had but never really acknowledged, let alone documented. She wrote down everything she stood for and everything she did not. Then she changed her business. Everything in the company had to comply with her immutable laws, or it was removed. If a product was not consistent with her values, even though it was a big seller, it was removed. If a vendor did not share values, even though it was an inexpensive source of product, the relationship ended. She no longer tried to sell products, electing instead to share stories about her immutable laws and how her products supported her values. Business started to increase exponentially. Old products that were consistent with her immutable laws started to sell like never before. A redesigned website that spoke entirely to her values now drew over 50 times the amount of traffic it previously had. Consumers sharing the same immutable laws came back more frequently and bought more. Most importantly, she is now happy, very happy. In Leslie Ann's own words, having your own company that mirrors your personal value system is just like having a soulmate. I couldn't imagine anything better. Her business is out of the tunnel and the sun is shining brightly. Immutable laws, a filter for everything. I value and believe in go-givers. If someone wants to take from me, I push them away as fast as you can say, blood-sucking, life-draining bastard. But if someone genuinely is out to help others, to help her common man, I applaud her and want to associate with her. I, too, go out of my way to help others. When someone tries to take advantage of me, watch out. It's totally inconsistent with my beliefs, and I will be pissed. I thrive in making, building, and participating in clear win-win situations because that is my internal rule. We all have our own mix of unique internal rules we abide by. It is these values that we consistently adhere to, deviating from them with rare exception that I call our immutable laws. When we do deviate from them for some reason, our emotions punch us dead center in the face and remind us how bad it is to compromise our own internal laws. Like the long arm of the law, every time we break our own laws, our conscience catches us and punishes us. To be successful as an entrepreneur, you must abide by your own immutable laws. Your values say a lot about who you are, which in turn says a lot about the type of business you will create. You must ensure absolute consistency between your values and your business. If everything you do in your company is consistent with your values, you will be happy and always inspired to work. But immutable laws are far more than the sources of your inspiration and emotional satisfaction. They are the filters for every consideration in your business. Who should you hire? What should you sell? How should your customer service function? What vendors should you work with? Who are the customers you want to service? Any question you have about your business must pass through the filter of your immutable laws. If they don't match, don't do it. The immutable laws are the spine of your business. If your spine gets out of alignment, your ability to progress will be greatly compromised, and your company will be hunched over, limping along instead of striding forward. If you break your spine, you will be paralyzed, and your company will fail to survive. Your job, TP entrepreneur, is to be the chiropractor for your business. You must keep your company's spine in perfect alignment by ensuring that every part of the company body is consistent with your immutable laws. Now that you know how absolutely critical they are, it is time to discover your own immutable laws. The good news is that you already know them. The bad news is that they still exist at an emotional level and not as conscious thought. To find them, you need to reflect on your past and consider every situation that pissed you off and every situation that made you feel happy. What is the common thread in the situations that upset you? What are the reasons behind the reasons you got pissed? Which values were compromised? Ask similar questions about the situations that have made you happy. What were the common threads in situations where you were happy? What are the real core reasons you were happy? What is it about those situations that naturally made you happy every time? What values of yours were elevated during those situations? Some common values many entrepreneurs discover and use to set the stage for their companies include risk-taking, independence, honesty, leadership, teamwork, helping, security, trustworthiness, artistic creativity. This list is good, but not nearly good enough. It's boring. Would you want to work for a company that had sterile values like that? These filters are way too broad. They don't make clear visuals in your head, and they are way too lame. If they are not evoking strong, visceral emotion in you, you need to dig deeper, much deeper, to find your own immutable laws. Once you define your values, document them in a way that sings with your soul. Don't write them to comply with what your mother likes, or what you think customers want to hear, or what your lawyer friend said is most professional. If you water them down, you will only hurt yourself, and over time your emotions will rise up and punch you in the face again. Your immutable laws need to raise the hair on the back of your neck every time you read them, every time you speak them, and every time you hear them. Since you are still listening to this book, you are clearly the edgy type and would likely be as bored by the prior values as you were excited by these. No dry humping. This is a value of Hedgehog Leatherworks, a TPE company that never dry humps its customers with spam, sales literature, or cold calls. Blood money. The TPE company Action Figure Woman treats its money as if it were blood, building a constant blood reserve so that if there's ever an emergency, it can survive. My company uses this immutable law too, with our own spin. Positivity or death, a value of my mentor, Howard Hirsch. This immutable law is about choosing to work only with people with a positive attitude. Howard once ran a help wanted ad that read, "Experience irrelevant, positive outlook on life mandatory." And the right candidates with the right values applied for the job. Howard Hirsch, unequivocally, is a toilet paper entrepreneur. Dive on the grenade. This immutable law is about cultivating a company wherein everyone supports each other. When there is a problem, the person closest to it, be it the president or an intern, is expected to jump on the problem and fix it. No dicks allowed. This is one of my values. Life is too short to deal with people who are curt, rude, or just out for number one. In plain old English, life's too short for dicks. Just like butter. This is a value from Roof Deck Solutions, a company that installs high-end outdoor patios for apartments in New York City. Every project they engage in involves extremely complicated logistics. In order to keep the customers worry-free, the projects must run as smoothly as butter. So Roof Deck Solutions only works with vendors and only hires employees who thrive under extreme pressure and share in the value of having things run just like butter. Give to give. Another value of my company. This immutable law is about giving for the joy of giving without expecting anything in return. Likewise, we work hard for the joy of working hard. Oddly enough, it all comes back to us anyway. Good enough ain't good enough. Another Hedgehog Leatherworks value, stating that every product and customer experience must be great. Not good, but great. This immutable law hangs on the wall in their St. Louis workshop, reminding everyone that each product must be perfect. Turn the turtles. Matt Cutler, the president of Restock It, articulated this immutable law. Anytime a customer is struggling with a problem or question, the team at Restock It jumps into action to get things right. Just as with a turtle on its back, a little effort will get the customer on her feet again and moving forward. Matt Cutler is a toilet paper entrepreneur. We do know Jack. Another carryover value from my former company, this immutable law is about knowing the customer inside and out. We routinely received tech support calls, and our team was required to know the answer and the customer, sometimes named Jack, extremely well. Now we're cooking with gas. These immutable laws speak to me and awaken a strong curiosity about what they mean. They speak as clearly to what they are as to what they aren't. They absolutely make vivid, clear pictures in my head. Don't ask me about the dry humping one. And they will absolutely resonate with a select few people and be rejected by many. That's what you want. The most manageable number of immutable laws is 3 to 5. While technically you can have tens or hundreds, that many are way too detailed and too hard to remember. Boil them down to your core values, the essence of what you believe. Once you identify your handful of immutable laws, focus on your gut emotional response to those words. When a value has a strong emotional tie to you, it is a critical value and a perfect immutable law. If you don't feel it, ditch the law. But I want to have values that everyone can understand, you say. Wrong. Watering down your core values is a mistake. Listen, not everyone will share your values, nor should they. The world would be a boring place if they did. Some people do share your values. Those are the people whom you want to reach. They will be your best colleagues, your best vendors, and your best customers. Be true to yourself, and the right people and opportunities will filter to you. Consistent application of your immutable laws will build a healthy company, and you will be happy. Guaranteed. The why guy finds his why. In the fall of 2005, Simon Sinek hit rock bottom. He felt like a failure and was intimidated by everyone he met. Simon craved the feeling of success more than anything else. He didn't know exactly what was missing, simply that something was missing. Simon started to look to the people and companies that inspired him, fascinated by how these companies inspired others. Steve Jobs and Apple, Richard Branson, Martin Luther King Jr. It was in studying these people and companies that Simon made an amazing discovery. It didn't matter what they did. What mattered was that they knew why they did what they did. Simon set out to know unequivocally why he did what he did. After looking back over his whole life, Simon saw a pattern to his success. He realized that he felt the most successful when he was most inspired and when he inspired those around him. Simon had discovered his calling, his purpose. Today, Simon Sinek is the leading authority for entrepreneurs who seek their purpose, for those who want to discover their why. His business and his life are far from rock bottom. In fact, he's felt more successful and enjoyed more success every day since he discovered his why. Simon Sinek is a toilet paper entrepreneur. Your ideal customers will be attracted to your business because it speaks to them. They share the values of your business. They want what it stands for. They buy the why. Your company is a reflection of you. Serving your life's purpose ensures the success of your company. As Simon Sinek says, you must live and serve your why. Take action now. Part 2 is but a page away, but if you don't stop and complete these 3 exercises now, you'll miss out on something crucial. And no, I'm not just saying that. 1. What do you stand for? What standards do you uphold in your personal life? What do you expect from yourself and others in your life? In what aspects of your life do you waffle a bit? What are the areas where you will not move a muscle? Do you need to loosen up or have more conviction? 2. Your set of immutable laws is the backbone of your company. Building on your own values and ethics, what are the immutable laws of your company? How do these immutable laws benefit you, your staff, your investors, and your customers? 3. What's your why? Why are you an entrepreneur? Why did you choose your specific industry? Why? Keep asking until you get to the heart of the matter. Part 2, the TPE focus. Columbus didn't have a business plan when he discovered America. Mary Kay Ash. A huge portion of this book is devoted to the entrepreneurial mindset, but quite frankly, it's not nearly enough. As Henry Ford said, if you think you can or can't, you are right. If you are going to succeed as an entrepreneur, you must have enabling beliefs. You must think you can. From the previous section, you should know how nature's calling you, where your passion is, and have an established mindset to ensure you reach your goals. But there is much more to being a toilet paper entrepreneur. Now you must have a maniacal focus. All of your attention must be on the job at hand. When the TP entrepreneur feels nature's call, the telltale rumble in the stomach, she doesn't waste time devising an elaborate plan, and she definitely doesn't wait it out until the ideal conditions present themselves. Instead, she proceeds with absolute focus. She analyzes the severity of the erupting opportunity and outlines the major actions she needs to take. For example, she determines how much time she has before she goes into emergency mode. She identifies the nearest clean and quiet workspace and checks to make sure it is adequately stocked before getting down to business. The TP entrepreneur is always ready to manage when challenges come up, and they inevitably do. Launching and growing a successful business utilizes the same discipline. Elaborate business plans are useless for directing your business. They inevitably become dust collectors, or if you're resourceful, toilet paper. Annual goals and 5-year projections aren't worth squat either. What separates the successes from the sloppy disasters all boils down to a few concise, extremely effective plans coupled with decisive action. Which outcome are you gunning for?
Chapter 4, Getting Down to Business. Make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. Albert Einstein. How come we have all heard the phrase, less is more, yet still behave as if more is more? So many aspiring entrepreneurs believe that the broader the variety of products and services they offer, the more successful they will be. The problem with this is that the more you do, the less effective you are at any one thing. The less likely you are to be exploiting your strengths. The less likely you are to be exceptional. Broad strokes are for ordinary folks. A tight focus allows you to quickly determine if the path you are following is bearing any fruit or not. Since the path is narrow, when you hit a problem or a roadblock, you will catch it right away. With this knowledge, you can adjust speedily and often with few consequences. Bill Hewlett and David Packard took focus to heart, but only after a few years of initial startup struggle. On January 1st, 1939, they kicked off their partnership with a $538 investment and a beat-up drill press. At first, the company was generally unfocused and worked on a variety of electronic and agricultural products. Hewlett-Packard hit its stride in the early 1940s with spiked market demand for an HP invention called the Model 200A Audio Oscillator. The invention introduced a level of quality the market had never seen before and was at a price point that couldn't even be touched by the competition. And because they focused tightly on the Model 200A, Bill and David were able to determine how to use technology from light bulbs to make and sell a far more reliable product for a quarter of the competitor's price. The result of HP's razor-sharp focus? Possibly the longest-selling simple electronic design in history. Fast forward a mere decade, and revenues were well into the millions. And that's 1950s money. Hewlett-Packard was a huge success for a couple of guys who used a coin toss to determine the company name. When Dave Packard won the toss, he had the option to select between Hewlett-Packard and Packard Hewlett. He went with Hewlett-Packard. David Packard and Bill Hewlett are toilet paper entrepreneurs. Focus small to get big. Name a company that launched to superstardom without narrow focus. Can't think of one? That's because it's never happened. Look at Microsoft. It skyrocketed to success on DOS, a simple program that made a computer more functional. Today, it is a different animal, making software, video game systems, and computer hardware. But when it took off, it was due to its focus on DOS. Google launched on a search engine. Now look at all the crap it does. Intel did it on processors. Cirque du Soleil did it on circus acrobats. Ford did it on the Model T. Procter & Gamble struggled with candles and then launched when it focused on soap. I challenge you to find any company that grew exponentially by selling a large, varying mix of offerings from the get-go. Only after they saturated the market with their focus did they introduce a mixed offering. But I can't think of one company that launched that. Walmart, too, had an absolute focus in its offering. It was lots of stuff, but all at cheap prices. Everything it carried had to be absolutely the cheapest price anywhere, or they did not carry it. The lesson here is that your focus does not need to be on one product, per se, but it needs to be on one consistent method of being way different from everyone else. It seems common sense would dictate that the more products and services a business can offer to a wider variety of consumers, the more revenue it could generate. The proverbial one-stop shop. If you can lock a customer into one service, she will likely buy more things from you because she trusts you. The only problem is that the more you do, the harder it is to maintain quality. The old saying goes, jack of all trades, master of none. My version goes, jackass of all trades or master of one. Jackass is appropriate, since that's what your customers will think of you when you try to be everything to everyone. No focus, and your products, your services, and your customers suffer. To be a market leader, your company must excel at one laser beam focused area. Be better than anyone else and continue to focus on improvement in that area, or you will be left behind. As you examine your business, can you imagine how less variety in what you offer will result in greater ability to do what you do well? If so, it is time to start doing less. If you can't see your business improving with greater focus, congratulations. You must already be the world leader in your area of expertise. A word of caution. Avoid burning your foot with a magnifying glass. It effing hurts. Focus, like many things in life, is a double-edged sword. When applied appropriately, focus will result in rewards beyond your imagination. Conversely, focusing on the wrong thing will result in a dangerous downward spiral. You are doomed if you focus on the reasons for your problems as opposed to focusing on a resolution. Focus on achieving success and exploiting strengths rather than avoiding problems and resolving weaknesses. Focus on the wrong thing and you get burned. How to drive dangerously fast safely. The power of focus may be best explained through an experience I had driving a powerful car ridiculously fast. For a second, imagine the TV subtitle scrolling by, "Do not try this at home, closed course, very unprofessional driver." I had the good fortune of being trained at Skip Barber's Racing School, where they taught me how to navigate a hairpin turn track driving a 550 plus horsepower Dodge Viper. Back then, they trained people to race those beasts. Now they train on a lowly 325 horsepower Porsche 911. What they taught me at Skip Barber was all about focus. In order to navigate the course at top speeds, I was trained to focus exclusively on the next turn while the car was still piloting the current one. The trainers taught me to focus on where I wanted to go, not where I was, since my peripheral vision was already taking care of that. To go the fastest, I was trained to continually focus on the next turn, not the current one, nothing beyond the next one, just the next turn. I also learned what to do should the Viper start spinning out. Again, it was all about focus. I had to focus on where I wanted the car to go and not focus on the wall I was trying to avoid. Sure enough, during my first spin, I panicked, looked straight at the wall I was heading into, and steered right toward it. But after a few spins and some potentially expensive near misses, I learned to focus on where I wanted to go. When times were at their worst, meaning a crash was imminent, a successful outcome was achieved solely by my intense focus on where I wanted to be, not on what was currently happening. The same is true for your business. Narrow your focus on the best products and services you have to offer. Make those few things extraordinary. Focus on and exploit your strengths. Look at where your business is headed, not where it is at this moment. Is your business in a spin? Give your attention to where you want to go, not to what you're trying to avoid. There's no question about it. You get what you focus on, either good or bad. Concentrate on where you want to be, and your chances of successfully getting there are far greater than if you focus on what you are trying to avoid. The Focus 5. Can you be too narrowly focused? Absolutely. Let's say your passion is in making delicious, fresh pizza and delivering it within 15 minutes, guaranteed. You could advertise to the entire world if you like, but it would be nearly impossible, remember nothing's impossible, to launch a business delivering fresh pizza in 15 minutes to any location in the world. So what is the right thing to do? Narrow your focus. You could pick an area that you can easily deliver pizza to in 15 minutes. The problem may be that there are 10 competitors in the same area, all with great pizza and loyal customers. Getting a foothold would be difficult. What if you focused really tightly so as to ensure a market? You could service only the second floor of residents in the Park Avenue building. With a tight and specific customer base, you could quickly enhance your services to cater to these customers, destroying every competitor within a broader market. For instance, you could install a dedicated pizza phone in every apartment on the second floor, or hand deliver a pizza sample every day. You could do a million things that your competition would not have the resources to match. A tighter focus would allow you to overwhelm the competition in service, customer intimacy, and speed. There is one glaring problem, though. You won't make crap for a living. The focus in our example is way too narrow. While you could out-service other pizza places, you wouldn't have enough prospects to keep business rolling. That is, unless you are selling your pizzas for $10,000 each. When you focus too narrowly, it becomes difficult to generate a sustainable income. The Focus 5 is a strategy I developed that allows you to focus narrowly enough to dominate a niche, yet broadly enough to make substantial revenue. The goal of the Focus 5 is to find the sweet spot for as little direct competition as possible with the greatest market potential. To find the sweet spot, you need to keep narrowing your focus until you have the confidence and research to support an achievement of $5 million in annual revenue within 5 years of being in business with less than 5 direct competitors. Use the following equation to evaluate the trade-offs and find the balance in your business focus. 1. Narrow focus equals increased ability to be the best. And 2. Narrower focus equals reduced competition. But 3. Narrower focus equals a smaller customer base. Plus 4. Narrower focus equals lower potential revenue. And also 5. Narrower focus equals slower growth. The idea behind the Focus 5 is that you need to be aware of the gains and losses that a narrower focus provides. Looking at the equations, for example, you notice that as you focus more narrowly, you will increase your ability to be the best and reduce the number of direct competitors. You will also have a small customer base, less potential for earning revenue, and ultimately, your business will grow at a slower pace. If you can't realistically achieve $5 million in the next 5 years, your focus is way too narrow to grow a scalable business. Without the ability to achieve at least $5 million in revenue, you will spend your efforts in the day-to-day operations of your business, doing work, and/or servicing customers. What you want is a business that is positioned to scale to the point where you are managing people and constantly improving internal systems, not working to serve customers. You want to build a business that you are continually working on, not in. The other variable is competition. If there are 5 or more direct competitors already operating in your niche, you will be in for a serious fight. But if there are only a few competitors, or none, you can gain a foothold much faster. When you hone in on a niche that is narrow, but not too narrow, and when you use the $5 million marker as a goal, you position your business so that it is safe from big players that can, but don't, buy into the market. A company grossing $5 million a year is small potatoes compared to the giants of industry. The giants will wait until you have mastered your business and dominated your niche before they make an offer to buy your company. And that, my friends, is a happy, happy day. Maybe your aspirations are different. You may aspire to make $1 million in 5 years, which will change the formula to succeed. Hint, it makes it easier. Or you may have other numbers. The important thing is to find the balance of focus with potential to achieve your goals. If you are going to err on one side or the other, it is far better to blunder on the side of being too focused. You can always broaden what you do without losing your current customers. The other way around doesn't work so well. You gotta do better. Conventional wisdom indicates that people are motivated by the desire to increase pleasure and the need to avoid pain. I think that's too complicated. The fact is, everyone is out to feel better, and the sole purpose of your business should be to make the customer feel better. That's it. Game over. All the bullcrap aside, feeling better is all that matters. An entrepreneur launches a business that makes someone else feel better. The toilet paper entrepreneur ensures that he's always better at providing better than any of his competitors. Here are some better examples. 1. An insurance provider makes